From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, May 17th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Toeksuk Nusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, classical crossover group Simply Three is back for an encore performance as part of Juno Jazz and Classics Spring Festival. We'll chat with Glenn, Nick, and Zach about their genre-hopping music. No Script, All Wit is also back in Juno. Some of Seattle's top improv talent returns to the Crystal Saloon this weekend. Plus, a check-in with the Juno Public Library on upcoming events and this week's edition of Garden Talk. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That right there is Simply Three. Three instrumental classical musicians who are crossing genres and reshaping how we think about music. With millions of listens online through streaming music services and popular YouTube videos, Simply Three wowed audiences in 2022 here as part of the Fall Festival from the Juno Jazz and Classics and are back for an encore performance to close out the festival tomorrow night at Centennial Hall. In studio now, please welcome Glenn McDaniel, Nick Villalobos, and Zach Clark. Gunath Chisha Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasaiti, welcome back. How's it going?
It's going good.
It's great. Thank you.
I mean, well, that song fired me up.
It fires all of us up.
I love that
what
song.
A classic.
I mean, who doesn't love that song? Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And you guys did that as a duo with the Brooklyn Duo.
Yeah.
Another group Brooklyn that duo. That you were. Is that who was playing the piano?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, that was a really good one. So I just, it's so exciting to have you all here and welcome back to Juno again. And what was that instrument that you were playing there? The beginning, obviously we hear the strings in the beginning, but it's like a bass electric or something?
It's an electric cello.
Electric cello.
And then he's got an electric bass as well in that.
Okay.
And I can't remember if we did electric violin or not on that one specifically, but.
Yeah.
We have different sets of instruments that have different sounds, you know, and for that one, we thought it would be cool if we were more kind of electrified, and then in Brooklyn Duo, we're more of the pure kind of tones.
Yeah.
Patrick plays cello, and then his wife, Marnie, plays piano.
Okay.
And so that's Brooklyn Duo. So we had him kind of playing the acoustic, and then I was able to do the electric on that, just kind of like an electric guitar. You know, it's a lot.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the video for that, you can find it on YouTube on the Simply 3 YouTube channel. And simply3music.com is the website for Simply 3. And just to get it out there, jazzandclassics.org is where you can get tickets for the show that is tomorrow night at Centennial Hall. It's the final performance of the Juno Jazz and Classics Spring Festival. And they're calling this the encore performance of Simply 3 because last time they were here, they just kind of rocked it. So they're back and already eating some of our local fare and having a good time so far. So let's go back a little bit. How did the group start?
It started in 2010. Zach and I were at Arizona State University, and we kind of just had this idea to play different kinds of music besides classical music, which is what we were studying. And so it started as a duo with just us two, and then we quickly found out that wasn't a very good idea. So we've had a few violinists before Glenn, but Glenn joined in 2014. And I think in 2014 is when we really started to like make our name in this music business. That's when we started getting a lot more gigs. We kind of knew what we were doing musically with videos, doing music videos as well. So, it started in 2010, but I feel like it really started in 2014.
Kicking in high gear in 2014.
Yeah.
And so where does the question is like, I was going to ask something about like where does the inspiration come from, but I think more what I'm interested in is when you hear a new song by, let's say, because you do a lot of covers of popular songs and maybe stuff that isn't so popular, and there's also some cool mashups. I want to play a couple of those, couple samples of those, so people get the idea. But when you hear a new song, what do you recognize in that you want to like simply three-ify it?
Question. Who wants to take that one?
I stumped them.
Well, I think the first thing that comes to anyone's mind when they're wanting to recreate something is, do I enjoy this?
Right.
First and foremost. After that, I think it just becomes a question of, because we play instruments that are very melodic, we have to have something in the original thing that we are trying to cover that has a sustainable melodic line in it.
I see.
And so if there is, then something of a reimagination becomes that much more achievable for us. And if it's not there as much, it just presents a little bit of a unique challenge in how can we make this maybe a little bit more melodious for our instrumentation. But yeah, that just kind of gets the wheel spinning at first, is how much do we enjoy this?
Yeah, so is that how sort of pop or rock music sort of is a good go-to? Because, I mean, obviously there's a ton of sort of melodic or melodies or catchy riffs and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's something that translates a little easier when there's strong melody, hooks, like you say, riffs, guitar things, you know. And we all kind of love pop and rock music, too, in general. But, yeah, like Glenn was saying, we just have to first love the song. But there probably is something underlying it that we could maybe, you know, spell out like, oh, this has, you know, a rhythm underneath a long melody, or this has, you know, there probably is some ingredients there, but we don't think of them consciously. But like, you know, we're obviously aware of what works, you know, and what doesn't. In fact, in the very beginning, I tried to arrange a song and it like didn't work, and I stopped. And we never played it. And I feel like we could do it now, though, after having been through arranging things for, you know, like a decade. I could come back to that. And it's funny because it sounds like this would be such an easy song, but it's Wonderwall.
Oh, yeah. I love that
Oasis.
Song. Yeah.
Love the song. So it's like, yeah, we love the song. Like Glenn was saying, I love the song. But I was like trying to play all the notes that the guitar would play on a cello, which only has four strings, and maybe I can only do three or two notes at a time, and it didn't sound right. And I was like, maybe we could just stack the layers over top of each other, like in a recording. But then we're like, well, how do we do that live? And we were just kind of stumped at the time.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we figured out some ways of simplifying it, some ways of rearranging the way we play the chords. And I mean, Nick takes on sometimes a bass line and a percussive element at the same time. He was able to figure that out over the last decade.
Wow. Yeah, it's what happens, right? I mean, music grows. You grow as artists. You've done, I don't know how many songs, but many, many, many songs, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds. And that's what I'm also wondering is, like, because of all of the songs that you have, how do you come up with a set list, like, for tomorrow night?
That's a good question. We, again, a lot of it comes down to, like, what do we enjoy playing? What are we good at playing? And I think now there are some, like, things that we always play, like some of our originals that have been really popular with people, like a Maverick, for instance, one of our original songs, or like Rain. That's always, it's pretty much always in the set list.
Yeah.
And then we are always trying to do new songs, new current songs. So we make sure to add those as well. But there are definitely like a lot of staples that are in every single set list.
Yeah, are there some that have become, I love that there's original material as well, but are there some of the covers that like people are, if they go to a Simply Three show that they know they're going to hear? Is it like that now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Wake Me Up and Honey, I'm Good. Those are some real energetic ones and real fun ones. And we've come to realize that especially our live energy and like the live version, it's great, right?
Yeah.
And
then kicking like songs crowd live or just
exactly. So we also know like we should probably ramp it up, and those are good ones to use. And until we find something better, we'll just keep doing those. You know?
I want to play a couple of samples from a couple of songs because I like the idea of. I think some of these, I know one of them's certainly a mashup. This one right here. Let me play a little bit of this. This is the. Well, you'll know what it is because you did it.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of a little Adam Levine combined with some...
Memories and Paco Bell's Canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it first started, I was like, okay, yeah. I was like... I mean, it's a great sort of mashup, right? Like of that, how it works.
Yeah.
And how does that? So how does that like come about? Like, how does the idea to be like, let's take those two songs and put them together? Is there something that's matching in the songs that kind of
tempo and stuff? That one specifically, I'm pretty positive.
I think that one was begging to be mashed up. Just from
I think Adam knew. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they based that song off of Paco Bell's Canon.
The score, the chord structure is the exact same.
Chords.
And being a classical musician, I can't tell you how many times each of us have played Paco Bell's Canon in D. So when you hear that chord progression, we're like, oh,
I see what they did.
Well, I don't know if Adam Levine knew that or not, but
he's got to.
Every single classical musician hearing that song goes, oh, Paco Bell's Canon in D.
I mean, I guess that's just so interesting because one of the best mashups I ever heard was Smells Like Teen Spirit and Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
Oh my
gosh, like that.
That's awesome.
Because basically, the way in rock, it's like there's the same sort of beat and everything, and it kind of fits, but it's just like when you hear it, you get Rickrolled because they started out with that song and then it turns into Nirvana. And you're like, this is a reverse Rickroll. Awesome. And this is another one. Let me see if this one is, if I'm correct about this, but this is the. Montero, this is newer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one is mashed up with
that. I don't think there's a mashup in that.
This is not a mashup?
What did you think the mashup was?
I wasn't sure. That's why I was asking, yeah. Because I've heard
there is a mashup. You were right.
No.
No, we didn't mash this up with anything.
No, nothing mashed up.
Not that we, not intentionally.
Okay.
This was just a little Nas X song.
Gotcha, okay.
This one is fun, though.
It feels real Spanish, though.
Are we playing this tomorrow? I forget.
Yeah, we don't know what's on the set list yet, right?
Yeah,
I don't think we're going to create it. We came up with something, but yeah, we'll see if it makes it on there.
There's that one. And then, then, of course, I mean, obviously, there's other great songs that you have. You did another one, I think, years ago, but the Seven Nation Army, I mean, he's one of my faves. Jack White's one of my faves, and, like, that just sort of lends itself to this kind of stuff, too. So it's really cool. And I also wanted to ask you about sort of the the videos, because that's becoming like a thing for you all too, in terms of people really liking the videos. And who comes up with the ideas? Where do they come from?
A lot of them come from us. Yeah. Just, you know, we're very visual people, especially when it comes to listening to music. We always have images that come to our minds, and we've honed that skill being in this group because we do a lot of music videos. But I would say some of our best stuff has come from collaborating with filmmakers who do this for a living. So we'll give them the song, and we'll say, you know, what do you see? And they'll say, oh, you know, I got this whole, you know, idea. And usually it's a lot better than what we come up with. So, like our video for Rain was all done by Brett Kalmbach, who was the videographer for that one. Bohemian Rhapsody, our video for Bohemian Rhapsody was kind of a big collaboration with Brett as well and ourselves.
I see.
There's rain right there.
Yeah, a little bit of rain here. This is the beginning. No music yet.
I hear the downtown Phoenix ambiance.
There it is.
Yeah,
so, Brett's great. Epirus company is his film production company. And he used to live in Phoenix, lives in Portland now.
I think he's in Oregon, yeah.
And he did Rain and Bohemian Rhapsody and Heart's Harmony, and I know probably a couple other Photograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we figured, hey, if there's...
Breathless, he did Breathless as well, which is another original of ours.
You can tell the difference, you know, when someone is like spent their whole life and it's their passion, you don't film, you know, video.
Yeah.
You can see the difference.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're looking
lighting
for.
Lighting.
They know
narrative.
How to tell a story better. Yeah. You know, they got all that.
Yeah, for sure. And this right here, this is a little bit of Rain. This is the original song.
If you ever see us play,
it's Glenn throwing down.
You'll hear us.
Glenn throwing down.
Anytime you hear us play live, you'll hear us play that song. We play it all the time.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. And of course, we were joking about this before the interview started, but I just thought this was funny when I was looking at your website, simply3music.com, everybody, that your tour dates show Juno, and then the next thing on the list is Orlando.
next week. We're going to make quite the miles.
Yeah,
the
you're getting some air miles
week.
In there.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so good. Well, it's tomorrow night. It's Simply 3 is going to be throwing down at the Centennial Hall. It's tomorrow night, and I think it starts at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock?
7
o'clock. And, of course, you can get all the information at jazzandclassics.org. And of course you can also, I wanted to mention too, that tonight, Imani Wins is at the Chapel by the Lake. So they're going to be playing tonight, which is one of the last concerts for, the Jazz and Classics Spring Festival. It's been an awesome festival. We've enjoyed having all the musicians on this last week or so. It's just been fantastic. And to sort of have this encore performance of Simply 3 tomorrow night is just great. So it's Simply 3, and you can find tickets at jazzandclassics.org. Glenn, Nick, Zach, thanks so much for coming to the studio. We'll go out with one of your like most listened to tunes, probably on the online services. This is Counting Stars.
Lovely.
Next, we'll be saying yes, and with no script, all wit, the improv troupe from Seattle who will be busting guts this weekend at the Crystal Saloon. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Support from Sunny Slope Organic Farm, voted Best Garden Nursery by Best of Juneau 2023. Open 10 to 2 weekdays, 10 to 3 Saturdays. Appointments at 907-723-6353. 5 driveways past Eagle Crest Road.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. No script, all wit is back in Juno. Seattle's top improvising talent is here for 2 nights at the Crystal Saloon. Get your laugh on and watch this team of improvisers spin audience suggestions into hilarious and creative scenes. At least that's the promise. And in this, they're in the studio right now. I think I have 4 names, but 5 people. So ooh, a fifth person. Let me see if I got Audrey.
That's me.
Yeah. Tristan. Mm-hmm. Isaiah,
yep. Ooh,
right. And Obadiah.
Yeah, you said it right, too.
And somebody else.
I'm Jeff.
Jeff.
I'm
just Jeff.
I'm Jeff.
Well, Gunath Chish Ha'iad, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio. Wasa'iat, how's it going?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
It's good.
Cold. Yeah, it's
cold? But you're from Seattle. You know this weather. This is basically
not
the same.
last time we were here, it was freezing.
Right.
Yeah.
It was October to now.
October.
Yeah, it was October. Yeah.
Okay, so welcome back to Juno, first and foremost. That's the best thing. But so now I know Tristan was on the Zoom with me last year before. Yeah. Oh, and you have a nice shirt on, Black and White Raven Company. We love them.
Yes.
Chloe Cavanaugh will be on the show next week.
But
we were on the Zoom last year for your first performance here in Juno, but now the whole group is here, and you're performing tonight. Tomorrow night at the Crystal Saloon, right,
that's
Audrey?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and what time?
At 9 o'clock is when the show is going to start for both nights.
Okay, 9 o'clock. All right. And you can get tickets at crystalsaloon.com, or you can go to – they probably are just linking you to the Eventbrite.
Exactly.
Which is just go into Eventbrite and search No Script, All Wit, Juno. It'll pop up, and it will be there, and you can get your tickets for tonight's show. So first off, let me just get the backgrounds of each performer a little bit. If you can each get closer to you guys over here on this side, I'll have to get closer to the mic. But
okay,
let's start with you, Audrey.
Sure.
And just tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in improv.
Absolutely. So I was really fortunate. Unexpected Productions, which is an improv company down in Seattle. We improvise there most of the time over in Pike Place inside the Gum Wall. They had a program where they reached out to high schools and had them train and compete with ensemble members. So that's how I was introduced. And then it was really fortunate. Last year I was able to coach my high school. So it was like a big full circle.
Oh, nice.
It was very special. Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah. Long time for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Obadiah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll jump in. I used to film comedy in Seattle. Like I had a camera. I would go around. I was like 17 years old. And this woman named Chelsea Benta, Blackwell now, she was a comedian that I followed and shot, and then she brought me to Unexpected Productions, and then she was like, you should get on stage and try it. And I got on stage and I tried it, and then I didn't come back because I was like, that was weird. And then I really enjoyed it the next time I did it. And then I kept coming back. It was like 2015, I think, and then 3 years later I auditioned and I got in the company.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. And Tristan, remind us from last year.
Yeah, actually. So I started just a couple years ago. My sister bought me classes at Unexpected Productions. And actually, Obadiah was my first teacher. And the theater was doing auditions for their ensemble. And he overheard me joking about how it was way too early. And he was like, nah, you should do it. And so I, filled with confidence, went and auditioned, and they were like, no, because I was 2 weeks into classes.
Confidence, confidence and talent were quite at the same.
Yeah.
Obadiah was like,
you go for it. You go for it, buddy. So I did that. But then after that, I started going to some shows, started volunteering and bartending with Audrey, and I've just been doing stuff there ever since.
Nice. Okay. And Jeff, lean down a little bit closer to that microphone. Yeah.
Yeah. I just started coming to shows, really enjoyed them. One day they had a thing that said, hey, we do teach classes. And I was like, I think I'm quick-witted. I can do that. And I started to start taking classes, just kind of progress through the class system. And then I was coming to so many shows, they offered me the opportunity to start doing some lights and sound with the theater. And I've been doing that, getting on stage ever since then.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. Yeah, and Isaiah.
Yeah. So actually, I got introduced through Obadiah. We've known each other. We know each other since like 2008, and we used to always do like musicals together and done comedy stuff. And you know, one day he was like, "Hey, man, you should come down Wednesdays to do open mic improv." And I was like, "Bro, what's improv?" And he told me, and I was like, "Oh, y'all make that up on stage?" No. And then I finally went, and I enjoyed it. I loved it. It was weird, but I loved it. Yeah. And then I did like 5 open mics before they held auditions for the company Unexpected Productions. And I auditioned, and luckily I got in, and I've been doing that since 2018, doing their main stage shows of theater sports. So it's been fun. But
awesome.
I've been blessed to do this type of stuff. So here we are.
That's cool. And we're going to get into what the improv, because I know we've talked about that before a little bit, but just to remind everybody. But I'm curious, because we've heard Unexpected Productions come up with a few people. So it seems like that might be one of the things that ties you all together. Mm-hmm. And so is this particular group, No Script, All Wit, sort of a breakout of that for just like touring purposes? And you just are making... You're making up that name to have something to put on the banner when you come to Juno, or what is that?
Yeah, so Unexpected Productions is where we have all met. So that's, I guess, the origin story of the group. But, we're traveling independently and, thankfully with support from the theater.
Yeah.
They're really excited that we're doing this and in full support of us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Shout out UP.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And also, Audrey's a Juno native.
Yes, I'm from
so
here.
I see.
Yeah,
there's
that's
a connection
what spurred it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I see. So it's really an excuse to come home.
Well, to come home, and then also, I mean, I love Juno, and I've been living in Seattle for a long time, but Juno is always in my heart and forever is, and I'm visiting all the time, and it seemed like such a wonderful opportunity to bring, I guess, what I've been spending my time on while I'm away and all of these wonderful people that I've met and bring them to this city that is so, like, excited for things like this, too. So I really just wanted to show and tell, really.
Yeah.
That's what it is at the end
Look
of the day.
Look at the shiny things I've collected.
Well, yeah, I adore all of these performers. I'm so lucky to work with them, and I'm so excited to share Juno with them, too, and it's been fun walking around and being like, this is where I went to kindergarten.
This is my swing set, right, exactly.
That's so funny. Okay, so the improv, people may have heard, they've probably seen things, they may have heard of names like Second City or various different other ones that are around that have had some fame to them. A lot of performers, maybe they've watched on Saturday Night Live, they know go through sort of these improv groups as they're coming up and doing all that kind of stuff. And there's different forms of improv, and a lot of it is made up, and a lot of it, I mean, sometimes it's used in like rehearsal for just a technique to build backgrounds and characters. Yeah. Sometimes it's like this kind of stuff where it's in front of an audience, it's meant to entertain. So what kind of improv, what do you define as improv for this particular group, I guess, is the question.
Wow, how do we define this group? I mean, yeah, I think, I'm fortunate to have this group of performers that are, you know, so able to do all of it, right? We can have scenes that are absolutely dramatic. We can have scenes that are absolutely side-splitting funny. Yeah. Some of them are silly. Some of them are serious.
We're missing two today. Mm-hmm. There's two more in the group, Shannon and Rainey. Shannon and Audrey have a really great dynamic of being able to find like really strong like emotional moments and really making the audience feel something. Isaiah and Obadiah are very like slapstick and goofy a lot of time. Rainey and I have a thing where we pretend to be bad lawyers. like we just kind of play around with whatever.
And Jeff knows when to turn the lights off.
Yeah, Jeff knows.
He's like, scancy.
That is actually one of the most crucial scenes.
Yeah. No, Jeff sets the aura, the energy, the lights, is the different. There's a whole thing with it.
Yeah,
to Jeff.
I love that. And is there something to, like you mentioned character, Tristan, like is there characters that you all have sort of building in your pocket that you bring out to do certain scenes or what?
We had some bits today. That's why we're this whole trip.
Yeah.
Do the voice.
Yeah, it's great for radio. I think we all have characters that we've found over time that we kind of like to maybe bring back out once in a while if we can, but something as specific as like Rainey and I doing Morris and Morris, where we're these bad lawyers. Like that's a very specific bit. But I don't think we generally all do stuff like where it's like a consistent thing.
Yeah.
Not in pairs, but I think like it's like playing music, you know, like you know all the hits, you know, like you know the stuff that, and maybe it's not something that the audience will, not something that you're doing for the audience, but something that you are know and love as somebody that comes out of you.
Yeah.
There's a Southern character that you have inside of you, or a lot of us have different people that I've seen all these people play, and they will come out with somebody. I like this person. I like this character. I like this moment that I've seen before.
I see. Do that. Yeah. So what can we expect tonight? Like if we go to the show tonight or tomorrow at the Crystal Saloon, I know there's audience participation. It doesn't mean, are you bringing people up on stage or are they just throwing up suggestions?
We'll find out. Yeah, we'll see.
That's really the best part about improv is that there is no structure. So we're going to go up there and make something up with the help of the audience. Yeah. I think that's what makes it interactive, not only for the audience, but for us too, because we don't know, but we're going to have fun doing it. And 9.5 times out of 10, the audience does too. So I think that's the best part of not knowing, but we just know we're going to put on a show and give a good time for sure.
But if somebody is, like you were at the beginning, a little apprehensive, they can still come and enjoy the show, not be forced up on stage.
100%. Yes. You are not required to go on stage at any point. No. We don't know that anyone even will go on stage.
Yeah. But we'll definitely be there. You'll be thrown out. People will be throwing out suggestions. You might ask for like a scenario, a setup, that kind of thing.
Yes, and we love like raised hands too. So it's like, you know, participate if you're excited to, but don't feel like you need to.
We don't force or bully or anything like that.
No.
And I think for what you can expect to see tonight, too, like an important thing is like there's between the different styles of improv, a lot of us have all done what's called long form, which is where we only get one thing and then do a full like hour and a half or hour. But tonight is going to be short stuff. Form. So it's going to be like little short bursts of scenes and small things that we'll build. So if you're there, you'll have probably plenty of opportunity to join.
I mean, we all maybe have some apprehension at first, but once you get on stage and play around, like you really find that we're all just still kids, just need to get out there and play.
Yeah,
It's fun. It's really fun. So give me an example of like one of the things you might be asking for from the audience tonight. And I'll answer. How about that? I'll be the one audience. I'm going to raise my hand.
Okay.
So like what would we be doing? What would we be setting up?
What is a local controversial topic?
Just go for it right away.
Permanent fund dividend check amount.
That's a classic one, actually. Yeah, that's a classic one.
I think last time,
I remember I asked about like Nimbus, and there was clear sounds of, oh, we love it, and oh, we hate it. So stuff like that, that's...
Oh, you know, another one, maybe somebody will throw this out, but the you know, there's no roads in and out of Toronto. People are going to be throwing these things out at you in terms of what these topics are, especially if you're asking a question like that, because we are the state capital.
And
so there's a lot of stuff going on. There's been a lot of stuff about school budgets this year. There's just been a lot going on in the community around all that stuff. The combining of the high schools.
I heard
that's a big one. Because of the school budget, they had to combine the high schools into one. And so that, you know, maybe we'll see what kind of questions you get tonight. So I'm curious about the scene in Seattle and why you all decide to be there as opposed to somewhere like Chicago or New York or LA where there's big improv scenes. Why Seattle?
Absolutely. I mean, well, first, Seattle's a beautiful place, so I live there and I love it. But also, we're doing some really incredible work at the theater that we work for. We're lucky to be there and to play there. There's a lot of theaters that are maybe more well known, but it's a lot of like leaning into shticky things or, you know, going for the joke is a term that we hear frequently.
Pay to play.
Exactly. And we're just so fortunate to have a space that is really excited to foster, you know, new ideas, new players, and to go for the heart of a scene, I think. And you don't have to try to be funny, right? Like, if you lean into what's earnest, the funny will find you. So
also, it's really expensive to move out of Seattle. So
as expensive as it is to live there.
We know all about that here in Juneau, too. Getting back and forth, even just to go on vacation to Seattle can be expensive for us. So that's good. Well, it's two shows. It's tonight and tomorrow night. It's no script, all wit. And it sounds like it's going to be a blast. You can find the tickets at crystalsaloon.com or go to Eventbrite and you'll
search, you know, No Script All Wit Juno, and it will pop up, and you can get links to get tickets for these two shows. No, it says right here, make it up as we go. No two shows are the same.
Yeah.
So you could go both nights.
Absolutely.
And have
completely
a
different.
Blast. Yep. And it would be totally different. So it's really great. Let me see if I can remember everybody. Audrey, that's Tristan, me. Isaiah, Obadiah, and Jeff. All coming into the studio today. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about it. Representing with some gear here, local gear. Get some more. Love the Seahawks cap that Isaiah's got on.
Thank you.
Go Seahawks. We'll see what we got going on this year for that. We love the Seahawks because it's our sister city, right? It's our sister city. So really appreciate y'all being here. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And now we will go to this week's Garden Talk with Chloe Plesnack. She talks with Ginger Hudson from the Jensen Olsen Arboretum, previewing upcoming events for the public.
Hi, Ginger. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you for having me on K2. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Ginger Hudson, and I am the manager and horticulturalist at the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. For those who don't know or haven't been to the Arboretum, this is Juno's Botanical Gym. The Arboretum was donated in 2007. The City of Juneau Parks and Rec Department took ownership and manages the Arboretum. However, the reason this could happen was because the last resident, Caroline Jensen, had the forethought to preserve the property. So she created the first conservation easement in South Central Alaska. So the Arboretum will be here in perpetuity. It's a really special place with its aspect to the sun and the coast and a little bit of protection from some north wind. It was homesteaded in the late 1800s. There's a vegetable garden still in the same place that those homesteaders started. So it's been in the same area for over 100 years. Some of our highlights are also a 100-plus-year-old apple tree. But of course, the Arboretum is nestled, surrounded by the Tongass National Forest, which we absolutely love. And it's right on the coastline of the Inside Passage. So we benefit from this land having been underwater at one time. So that puts marine life into the ground. And now we have the runoff from the forest, which is acidic. So we have a perfect blend of good nutrients in our soil. And our big claim to fame at this point in time was the creation of the nationally accredited primrose collection. Caroline loved primroses. And so the first manager, Merrill, took it upon himself to get accreditation for her collection. He added to that collection, and today we have over 170 varieties of primula on the property. And for Primula Day and Public Gardens Day on May 25th, I encourage folks to come out. Actually, if you can make it out earlier, the primroses are in prime spectacular color right now, but they do bloom from April until frost. There is always some kind of primula growing.
Wow, that's amazing. I just actually was learning a little bit about some of the folklore, old English folklore around primroses and just today. So that's really cool. I'll have to come out and take a look at those. So May is Alaska Native Plant Month here in Alaska. It's kind of a new thing. I think this is the second year that it's been going on. Could you share some Southeast native plants or trees that'd be easy for gardeners to integrate into their own yards or gardens?
Yes, we're really happy that garden groups across the state came together to ask the governor to declare this Native Plant Month. In the lower 48, Native Plant Month is in April. And as everybody knows, our gardens are still waking up. Well, the landscape is still waking up. So we're really excited to celebrate this in May. Some native Southeast native plants that are easy for folks to grow, besides what volunteers in your yard. I'm sure everybody might have some experience with thimbleberries, salmonberries, spruce, hemlock, but there's some other smaller unrecognized plants that are the basis of many horticulture plants. So we've got a couple of varieties of heuchera here in the state, and a lot of people will see lime and purple and gold and bronze heuchera in nursery centers. Well, heukera is native across North America, and all those fancy ones started out as a wildflower. So that's pretty exciting. Another diminutive wildflower that grows well here, especially for those that have shady gardens, is tiarella. Sometimes it's called foam flower. And one of our really special underutilized trees is the Western crabapple. And right now there's actually some research going on to collect these wild relatives of our commercially grown fruits. So as our climate changes, there's the potential for these large agricultural areas to lose plants because the apples and the cherries and the crab apples they've grown for generations aren't adapting quickly enough. And so folks are starting to collect wild varieties of a lot of our fruit crops. And the Western crabapple is one of those. And should, for some bizarre event occur, that we lose apples or crabapples, at least we have that rootstock that lives here in this climate that could potentially provide food for folks. But of course, our berry plants are easy to grow. We have plotted a nice little collection of silverweed in our veggie garden, not only because it is a traditional native food plant, but it's just pretty. It is a member of the rose family, so the leaves are very similar. They're shiny green on top, and then they have a nice silver on the bottom. That's what gives them their name. And what else have we expanded? Camas flowers, nice, beautiful, tall, white, and purple spikes that come up late summer. They're more native adjacent, but they do really well here. And what's some more? Anybody who lives on the coast, I encourage you to be looking for beach peas, beach asparagus, beach lovage, things like that. Lovage is related to cow parsnip, which also is edible when it's young. The lovage is edible as well in the parsley family. So very flavorful and useful for seasoning.
So tell me about the Native Plant Walk happening this weekend. How can people get involved?
We are holding a Native Plant Walk Sunday, May 19th at 11 o'clock. And in celebration of Alaska Arbor Day, which is on Monday the 20th, we'll be focusing on trees. Folks are welcome to join. There's no fee. There's technically no registration, but if I know you're coming, I do want to make sure I have enough handouts. We're going to meet in the parking lot. There's a small parking lot for the Arboretum adjacent to Glacier Highway. It only fits 20 cars, so if you don't carpool and it gets to be really popular and it's a beautiful sunny day, be prepared to park at the Peterson Creek Trailhead or along the highway. So we'll highlight the trees, of course, but we'll see other native plants along the way. And the Arboretum has a special area designated where we have cultivated native plants, and they're all labeled. So folks that anytime they visit, they can see what these native plants are. And we can talk about some of the uses. And another thing that I do want to highlight are the pollination of some of these plants. As we know, a lot of our bumblebees pollinate some of these plants, but I'm hoping that we'll see flowers from our low bush blueberry and maybe our lingonberry because mosquitoes pollinate those. And I know we have our contentions with mosquitoes, but we have to think about all the insects and all the good that they bring to our landscape and our life around us.
That was Ginger Hudson from the Jensen Olsen Arboretum with KTOO's Chloe Plesnack for this week's Garden Talk. You can find more information about upcoming events at the Arboretum at friendsjoarboretum.org. Up next, our monthly check-in with the Juneau Public Library.
There's a beat up old truck with the fenders bashed in. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been. I heard a song on the radio, won't you play it again? I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been. Mustangs on the mesa top, they're still wild and free. Won't you play that old waltz tune, come dancing with me? Dancing and a prancing and a stepping so high, like a thunderstorm rolling on a land that's gone dry. The heart is so thirsty, love falls down like rain, waters the soul, eases the pain.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little Buddy Tabor with Beat Up Old Truck off his 1996 album Meadowlark, which is now available today on all streaming services. It's the second album available on streaming services. It's part of the Buddy Tabor Project, and you can learn more on Instagram at Buddy Tabor Project or buddytabor.com on the interwebs. And now it's time for our monthly update from the Juno Public Libraries. Joining me now is Jen Gardner. Gwyneth Chisha Igudu, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasiti, how's it going, Jen?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's get right into it. We've got a lot of summer events, a lot of things coming up at all the different library locations. So let's just go down the list and see what we have.
Sounds good. Yeah, we have a lot of events coming up for the summer season. Our adult services team has been busy at work putting on or planning a lot of events for all ages and more tailored specifically towards adults. So coming up on May 26th, we have a game day that is in collaboration with Platypus Gaming. And that is from 1 to 4 p.m. in the Valley Library. It is free. Games are rated for ages 5 and up. And if you come and play, you will have a chance to win a game to bring home with you.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And the Platypus Gaming folks are so cool because they know all the rules to all these games and they can help you figure it out. And they just bring their selection of different things. And so that's on a Sunday, right? Sunday, May 26th from 1 to 4.
Correct.
Cool.
We also have an adult summer reading challenge beginning on June 1st. So summer reading is not just for kids. We have an adult program as well. I personally am an adult that loves summer reading challenges. And we will have the challenges available both on our website if you prefer to print your own, or you can come and get a paper copy at any of our three branches. If you complete challenges, they're mostly reading-based challenges, you can enter for chances to win local gift cards to businesses of your choice.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So there's a little bit of an incentive.
Absolutely.
I love that. And does that go all summer?
It does, yes.
Okay. And so there's like certain things, like you're trying to read a certain number of books or?
There will be different prompts that you can complete. So, you know, for example, read a cozy mystery or read a book by a local author. And as you check off challenges and complete the forms, you can bring those completed forms back in and you can submit as many as you want. So if you go through three pages, you get three chances to win a prize.
I love that. Cozy thriller sounds good.
Oh, there's all kinds of fun genres out there. And that's the goal, is to kind of inspire people to read outside of their genre of choice, maybe read something that they wouldn't have picked up otherwise.
I love that. Okay.
And then our outreach team will also be hosting a booth at Celebration from June 5th through 8th. They'll be bringing a broad selection of Alaska Native materials, both old and new books and resources. And it's also an opportunity for folks to learn about library services, including services for people that live in remote areas of Alaska, because they can get books sent to them for free.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good thing. I love that. Okay.
We are also doing some senior programming this summer. So there's going to be an event called Summer Solstice Sizzle with the library, and that's going to be at the Juno Senior Center. Any senior can join. That's on June 27th from 1 to 2 p.m. in the Senior Center Activity Room. And that's going to include some stories, games, crafts, prizes, and more.
I love that. So everybody, from youth to seniors,
exactly.
Everybody's involved in reading.
Yep, and they'll also be doing a teen night. So on June 20th from 5 to 7 p.m., teens can come to the library to interact with three diverse activist artists who are going to present on underrepresented narratives in the Juno community, talk about community building projects, and then there's also going to be a chance for participants to work on poetry for the Pride Poetry competition that is going on as well.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I think we had the young reader, we had the winner of that last year come on and read her poem called Rainbow.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was, I think she was like 9 years old maybe or something.
Perfect.
I can't remember. It was really great.
Yeah, it was a great event last year, and we're glad to bring it back. And then the last event that we have going on in June through our adult services program is the Trailblazers Book Club, and they are reading Captain Woman Rebel by Margaret Wilson. It's the story of an Icelandic sea captain. All of our free copies have been claimed, but you can place a hold digitally through the Libby app, or there's physical copies available through our online catalog. And if you want to join the walk-in discussion, anyone is welcome. That's going to be at Eagle Beach, the Outer Beach picnic area, on June 23rd from 1 to 3 p.m.
I love that. That is really cool. I love having a specific book to read. The Trailblazers Book Club, Captain Woman Rebel by Margaret Wilson, and the Libby app also. If people don't know about the Libby app, that's a great app.
It's fantastic. If you want to have access to audiobooks and ebooks for free, it opens up a whole bunch of titles that are available through the Alaska Consortium Library, the Alaska Digital Library, and it is a free resource that everyone should take advantage of with their free library card.
I love it. What else do we have?
So we have a lot of activities happening for youth as well, for our kids and our teens. First up, we are lucky to have a visiting author, Kathy Hawker, who grew up in Juneau and lives in Gustavus now. She's going to be visiting the Valley Library on Tuesday, June 11th at 6:30 p.m. And she's going to be sharing about her newest book, which is called I Was, The Stories of Animal Skulls. The artwork is really beautiful. And then Kathy will also be leading a poetry workshop for teens at the Zach Gordon Youth Center the next day, Wednesday, June 12th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Oh, that's so great that she's able to pop over and give some workshops and talks. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And then our youth services team is putting on a Juneteenth craft party, and everyone is welcome to come and bring a craft project to work on for this event. There will be materials provided for vision boards for those who are interested, but all crafts are encouraged. So this is a chance to celebrate Juneteenth, get together, gather with community, work on crafts, listen to some good music, and enjoy some beverages, and that'll be Sunday, June 16th at 2 p.m. at the Valley Library.
Awesome.
There's some other craft opportunities for kids as well. In addition to our regular story times, we're going to be adding in some special summer story times. So the first of that series is going to be the Summer Storytime and Craft. This is a program that's recommended for preschool and up. It'll run from May 30th through July 25th on Thursdays at 11 a.m. at the Valley Library. So kids and their caregivers are very welcome to join for a story and craft time.
I love that. That is so cool. I love that there's activities for everybody. You guys, I don't know how you all do it over there at the libraries, but you put together so many awesome events every month. I mean, it's amazing how much you all do for the community. And the coolest thing is that all of these things are free.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of hard work, and love goes into all of these programs and events. And, you know, we do our best to try to meet the needs of the community from age 0 to 110.
And, of course, you can find all the information at juno.org/library. There's a whole calendar of all these events. So if you missed one or if you're like, what was that? Hit the website, juno.org/library. And two final things I just wanted you to have mentioned, Jen. One was this month's book spotlight. We had this author on, I think, a year or so ago, Melinda Moustakis, and her book Homestead. Yeah?
Yeah. So really exciting about this book, Homestead. It was selected as Alaska's 2024 Great Read title by the Library of Congress Centers for the Book. And this is a group that develops book lists for kids and adults that re- kids and adults that reflect America's diverse local literary heritage. So they've chosen one for every state and territory, and this is the pick for this year. So if you're not familiar with this book, Homestead is set in Anchorage in the 1950s, and it is described as an unflinching portrait of a new state and of the hard-fought, hard-bitten work of making a family. We have two copies available at our local libraries, both downtown and at the Valley. You can place a hold on those copies online or by giving us a call. And if you have a library card, you can also get copies of books from all over the state sent to Juneau for free.
And that is so cool. And about library cards, you were mentioning something to me before we went on air about temp library cards for people who are just here for the summer.
Yeah. For folks who are here seasonally, we have a temporary library card that allows you to check out two items at a time and also get full access to all of our digital resources. And this is a free service for folks who are here seasonally. And for all of our folks who are working on cruise ships as well, we have a special crew card. So all you need to do if you're a seasonal person in Juneau is bring your government-issued ID to the library and sign up. If you work on a cruise ship, bring your crew ID and we can get you set up with a library card for free.
Wow, that's amazing. Again, more amazing things from the library. Thanks, Jen, for coming in. You can find out more at juneau.org/library. Gwyneth Cheese for being here today.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Have a fabulous weekend. Juneau Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JuneauAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Programming note, Juneau Afternoon will be on break from May 27th through June 7th. Shows will return on our summer schedule Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday starting June 12th. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juneau Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juneau evening.